James chapter number 1. We're going to get into some preaching of the Word of God now. And I hope that the Bible is very important to you. And treasure it, read it, obey it, memorize it, give it out, all of the above. But we thank the Lord for the Bible. And we're attempting to have a couple of what we call Sunday school songs. We had one this morning. We have the B-I-B-L-E this afternoon. And so that's not just for the young people. That's for the not so young. I don't know who that is anyway. You don't have to classify yourself as not so young. You can always be young. I failed to mention a couple of rules that we have at Anchor Baptist Church. Rule number one, this is an entrance only. Entrance only. So if you need to go out and use the washroom, just like Brother Jeff, see? Look at that. On cue, Brother Jeff. Thank you for that. And so if you need to go to the washroom, do not go through this door. Go through the back door. Turn right. Come down this long hallway. And the washrooms are right over here. And then you come back in this door, okay? And that's just the way it has to be. And we want to abide by that. And so please take note of that if you would. That's the way out. And this is the way in, all right? And if you brought a vehicle, then you would record your plate number. If you did not do that, please record your plate number out here on the clipboard. Then you have to go out and around and do it right over here. If you haven't done that, do it now, or you may not have your vehicle when the service is over. Just kidding. I don't think they're going to do anything that quick. There is no charge for parking, but we do need to record all of the license plates numbers, plate numbers on that clipboard. Okay. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. I love the book of James for many reasons. And I believe there's a lot in here regarding our spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. And we had someone this morning at the end of the service accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Isn't that great? And that's a brand new believer. And the Bible refers to that individual as a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ. A baby. Because why? Because the Bible says that you must be born again. And so when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're brand new. We're made alive in Christ. And now we must grow. We must grow. We must not stay, you know, in the baby sense, not size-wise, but in maturity. We want to grow. We want to grow in grace. And I believe the book of James helps us with that. And I hope tonight that God will speak to you specifically through what he's laid on my heart. Verse number 2. We'll go ahead and read verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Let the rich, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth, the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the scriptures. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for the guests that have joined with us. Thank you that we have a room to rent tonight. We have an opportunity to meet. We had the opportunity earlier today and now this afternoon to have this meeting. Please empty me of myself, empty us as listeners, and fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might understand the truth of today. Lord, I pray for anyone that is in this room or online watching the service that does not know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would accept Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you've heard the statement before. Maybe you've heard the statement before. Maybe it was a bumper sticker. Maybe it was, I don't know, that would have been a bulletin board of some kind maybe. But the statement says this: when life gives you lemons, thank you, Randall, make lemonade. When life gives you lemons, lemons are kind of sour, right? But yet you can take that. I really like actually just lemon water personally. But when life gives you lemons, you can make lemonade. Throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end, we read of people that were able to take defeat with God's help and turn it into victory. We see people all through the Bible that were able to, in their weakness, they were able to be strong in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of being victims, many people in the Bible that we read of became victors. And I'm thankful tonight as a born-again believer to be on the winning side, to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It is not me that gives eternal life. It is not my good works. It is not your good works. But it's only by the grace of God that we can have victory in our lives tonight. Well, here we see James tells us that we can have the same experience today. We don't have to have trials and turn at them into defeat. We don't have to have the difficulties of life come into our life and not be able to make something from them. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8 and verse 28. What happens is, as we grow through trials, God uses those difficulties to bring maturity into our life. I think you would know this to be true, that if there is never a struggle, then the growth is going to be stunted. But when there's a struggle, when there's a strain, I'm not a bodybuilder, okay? But when there is a strain, then that muscle actually will be growing in the process because of the strain that it has been given. If all I did was sit around in my desk, or if all we did was sit around and we didn't use the body that God has given us to do anything, when we put the body under stress, it's made to handle so much. Yes, you have to be careful. But that stress brings strength, whatever case it may be. But we must look at four things in these verses of Scripture tonight. And I keep saying tonight, but I know it's only the afternoon. But if we're going to take a challenge and turn it into a victory, there's several words, primarily four words, that we're going to mention in this outline. So what are some essentials for victory? What are some essentials tonight in the Christian life to be an overcomer? All right, let's see where they're at. Number one, let's look in verse number two. My brethren, count. There's the first word. The word count. What does he say? Count it all what? Joy. You can talk to me. What does it say? Count it all what? Joy. So number one is count, a joyful attitude. If we're going to take lemons and make lemonade, if we're going to take the struggles of 2020 and turn them into God's glory, by the way, everything, we can take everything that comes into our life and it can be for the glory of God. You say, what about all these things? Yes, God can put things in your life and in my life. First thing we must do, we're talking about growing. We're talking about spiritual maturity. Count it all joy. So, number one is the word count, a joyful attitude. Yes, outlook determines outcome. Yes, attitude determines action. God tells us here in these verses to expect trials. Notice the word when. You see that word in the second verse? When. It's not if. Count it all joy if ye fall into divers temptations. Does it say that in your Bible? It doesn't say it in my Bible. If it says it in your Bible, I don't know if you have the right Bible. It better say when, right? So God's not, hey, look, a challenge comes into your life. Don't act shocked. Now, I do, though, from time to time, don't you? Why? We all act shocked because our human nature is when a challenge comes in that we weren't expecting. It is to act shocked. It is to act overwhelmed. But here we see clearly, he says, when ye fall into diverse temptations. Not if, but when. So it's not really a shock. Nothing's a shock to God. It is not if we fall into various testings, but when we fall into various testings. The believer who expects his or her Christian life to be easy is in for a shock. In John 16:33, Jesus warned his disciples with this statement. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Notice that definitive word, shall. Now, I like what it says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I don't know if I like it as much in John 16:33 when Jesus says, "Ye shall have tribulation." But just as much as we shall have eternal life through Jesus Christ, Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. So what must we determine? We must determine that we're going to have a joyful attitude. We are God's scattered people, not God's sheltered people. We must experience trials. We must experience difficulties. These can come in all shapes and sizes. They can come in sickness. They can come in accidents. They can come in disappointments. They can come in tragedies. They can come in the loss of a job. Just you name it, they can come. There's no way when we started out 2020 that any of us would ever have imagined the things that have come just in the year 2020, and we're only in September. I don't say that to be negative. I just say that to say there's no way that when we thought of trust and obey as the theme that we were going to have the reality that was going to be laid at our feet. But even in this, in the year 2020, we can grow spiritually. We can grow in the Lord. Number one, count. Have a joyful attitude. You know, attitude is so important in your life and in my life. Look at 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12, and we've been learning a lot about Peter in our study of the book of Acts. We looked at that in the 10 o'clock hour. And here we have Peter writing an epistle, the first epistle. And so he's really someone who can talk to us about what he's going to mention in this particular verse. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse number 12, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Don't think it is strange. In other words, don't think that a trial coming into your life is just a mistake. No, it's gone through that. I love what I've heard recently, that everything that's come into my life has gone through the hands of Almighty God before it came into my life. It was Father filtered, as some people would say. Let's go back to our text in James chapter number 1. I want you to look at something here as we think about this word count, a joyful attitude. Notice in verse 2 it says the words fall into. Fall into. This does not suggest an accident. Okay? This doesn't mean I'm walking down the road and I don't see the hole in front of me and I fall into it. That's not what these words mean. Again, our beloved English language, we can look at it, and it can be taken in many different ways sometimes. It's actually translated from a Greek word that means to encounter or come across. So let's think about it. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." My brethren, count it all joy when something, you encounter something in your daily week, in your daily life, in your daily journey. They're going to come. They're going to be there. Everything might be sunny right now. We couldn't see it too well the last few days, could we? Everything might be sunny right now. And again, this isn't doom and gloom. This is exciting because God is growing us. God is maturing you. Again, as my faith is stretched, as my faith is tested, my faith is strengthened, and my faith is trusted. So fall into means to encounter or come across. Notice the word divers. Divers. It's not talking about deep sea divers, okay? Divers means various kinds, very colored, various. God arranges and mixes the colors and experiences of life together, and the final product is a beautiful creation for His glory. Now let's think about the word count. That's our main thought here. Count it all joy. The word count is a financial term that means to evaluate. To evaluate. He uses it several times, Paul does, in Philippians chapter number 3. When Paul became a Christian, he evaluated his life and set new goals and new priorities. And again, I would encourage you tonight, make the Bible very, very, very important in your life. Make the truths of God's Word very important. Read it every day. Let the Bible become a part of your life, just like getting dressed in the morning. Those clothes are a part of your life. Make sure you get dressed in the Word of God every day, because again, we have an opportunity to count it all joy. So the first thing that helps us in our growth is to count, okay? To count, to look at things in a joyful attitude. All right, let's look at number two, verse 3. And that is the word know. The word know, K-N-O-W. Knowing this. The word know there, okay, so the first one is joy, count it all joy, which is a joyful attitude. Number two is know, an understanding mind. An understanding mind. What do we know as Christians that makes it easier or more difficult or easier, excuse me, to face trials and benefit from them? What do we know? What do we know? Let's look at it here. It says here, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I mentioned this earlier. I kind of got ahead of myself. Faith is always tested. Remember what God, remember how God had Abraham take Isaac up to the mountain? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham's faith was tested. Abraham, I want you to take Isaac up to the top of the mountain and I want you to sacrifice. Now he ended up not doing that, but his faith was tested. There's a beautiful picture there. A faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. You see, God always tests us to bring out our best. And when we are relying on the Holy Spirit of God and His leading, you know what we do when the test comes? Brother John, we pass it. Flying color. We get 100%. You know when the test comes and I rely on me, I fail it with a zero. No, when the test comes, I'm going to have a joyful attitude. When the tests come, I'm going to know some things. I'm going to know that God has allowed this. I'm going to know some things, as James said. I'm going to know some things. I'm going to know that God loves me. Aren't you glad tonight to know that God, the Creator God of the universe, He loves you? Have you ever realized just how much God loves you? There's how many billions of people that have been ever created, ever been born, and yet I believe that God Almighty loves me just the same as all of the other billions and billions and billions. I can't really wrap my head around it, but I believe it because the Bible tells me so. In 1 John 4:8, God is love. His entire being is love. Everything that God does is from love. I know this. So when I find out I have cancer, as I did many years ago, I know some things. I know that God is good. We're talking about count, right? Have a joyful attitude. Again, your attitude is so important. My attitude is so important. We can have poochy lip disease all we want, but what good is that going to do? If you don't know what poochy lip disease is, I'll tell you after church. I don't have time to go into that right now. It just means you walk around sad all the time. Now again, we have seasons of sadness. I have those and you have those. But if we can get into this word and we can let the Holy Spirit of God, who has given us a fruit that is called joy, we can have the joyful attitude. We can count and have the joyful attitude. And then we can know. We can know some things. We can know that trials come into our life to mature us. We can know that testing works for us, not against us. Notice the word trying. See the word trying there in verse number 3? It has to do with approval. Approval. Peter helps us understand it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The trial of your faith. God's approval of my faith and God's approval of your faith is precious. I am so thankful today that God has brought different things into my 47 years of life that have caused me to count. Have a joyful attitude. In everything give thanks, right? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians. That's a tough thing to do. And I'm glad that God has brought things into the Anchor Baptist Church life in 19 and a half years that have caused us to stop and know some things. To know that this is His church. To know that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, number one, count. Number two is to know some things. Let's look at another one. James chapter 1, verse 4. So, we're remembering four words. Number one, count. Have a joyful attitude. Count. Count. Number two, know. Know. What do we know as God's children? What do we know as believers? We ought to know some things. We ought to know that God is faithful. We ought to know that God is love. We ought to know that God is in control. Hey, by the way, we might look at some things in the world today and think, where's God in all this? I'll tell you where God is in it. God is merciful. You know what I believe all the problems are and all the fires are all over the Western United States? You know what I believe it is? I believe it's the mercy of God. How, Pastor? Because those fires are nothing compared to the judgment of Almighty God that is coming on this world after He calls us to heaven. Nothing. I believe it's the mercy of God. I believe all tragedy is the mercy of God to awaken those who have yet to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, that's just me. You might disagree with me. You're allowed to, and that's fine. But I know this. God, you say, how could God allow this? And you're saying that's God's mercy. Again, if you read the book of the Revelation, you can realize as terrible as those, and by the way, those fires have affected some people that I love very dearly. Some good Bible preaching churches have been affected by those fires. But I still believe, I'm a firm believer, that it's actually the mercy of God trying to give man a chance. Hey, mankind, wake up. Wake up. It's all a joke and it's all fun and games, but it'll end. The joke's going to end. The mockery of God is going to end. While God is love, He's also just. And He can't let sin go unpunished. So I believe God is merciful in that. So let's look at another word, the word let. The word let. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Let. Look at verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Let. What does this mean? The word let signifies a surrendered will. A surrendered will. Let patience have her perfect work. Submission to the Lord allows God to accomplish His work. God's trying to refine you. God's trying to refine me. God's trying to build in us something of great value for His glory. Not for great value in the sense of monetary things, but for His glory. My character cannot be built without my own cooperation. Think about that. I've got to surrender. You know, God's given you a free will. God's given me a free will. God's written it on the heart of man, the need that we all have. Romans chapter 1 and 2. Read that sometime if you haven't. It's written on the heart of every man. But God has given us a free will. God has given us a free will to say yes to Him or to say no to Him when it comes to salvation. And then after we get saved, the same thing can be said. God wants to refine me. God wants to refine you. But I've got to cooperate. Right? I've got to say yes to the Lord. I love the song we used to sing at camp. Yes, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. That's what the word let means. A surrendering of my will. Paul outlined three works that are involved in a complete Christian life in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let's go over there quickly and look at these. I know you, some of you know these by memory. If you don't, these would be a great passage to look at. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Word let. So we have the word count. Have a joyful attitude. The word know, understanding some things of God and what He is, who He is. And the word let, and that's a surrendered will. A surrendered. We're talking about taking challenges that come our way and turning them into great victories. This is the formula. To me, it's a Bible formula. It's not a Ben formula. It's a Bible formula. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, please, verses 8 through 10. Here we see three works that God does involved in a complete Christian life. First off is that God, the work that God does for us. For us. Notice verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the, what's the next three words, church? Gift of God. Let's say it together. Ready? Gift of God. This is the work that God does for us, and we call it salvation. Salvation. Hey, don't answer it out loud, but I want you to think about it. If you were to die tonight, let's rephrase that. When you die, that's what James said, when ye fall into divers temptations. So let's just think about it tonight, all right? When you die, are you going to be in heaven or not? Now, there's a Bible way to know that you're going to be in heaven. It's not a religious way. It's a Bible way. And it's spoken of right here in these verses. Again, I did not come up with the Bible. This is God's holy word. This is not the Baptist book. This is God's book. Okay? All right? And we need to look and see, okay, if I'm not ready for death, how do I prepare? How do I get ready? Well, God talks about it right here. Paul talks about it right here. He says here in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ completed this work on the cross. If we trust him, guess what he does? He saves us. If you trust him, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that is the gospel. Then you are saved. You are forgiven. You are on your way to heaven someday. That's the beginning of it, though. That's not the end of it. It's the beginning of it. Yes, it's the end of the penalty for sin, but it's the beginning of the Christian life, which is filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship. This is the work that God does in us. Okay? The work God does for us is called what? Salvation. The work God does in us is called what? Sanctification. God working in me. By the way, God's working in us as Christians. God's working in me tonight. God's working in you tonight. For we are his workmanship. This work is known as sanctification. God builds in you and God builds in me. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to make us more like his son. You see, when I got saved, I was a sinner. I knew how to do things that sinners know how to do. When you got saved, you were a sinner. You knew how to do things that sinners knew how to do. And when God saved me, he didn't save me to continue to act like a sinner. He saved me to act like a saint. He saved me to act like a child of God. Turn over, if you will, quickly to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Surrendered will. The word let. Don't lose it. We're coming back to Peter. Romans chapter 8. Talking about the work God does in us. Notice Romans 8:29. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. This is not talking about predestinating so many people to be saved and so many people to not be saved. No, it's talking about predestinating people that are saved to be conformed to the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, perfect, sinless. That's what God's trying to do in me. He's trying to get sin out of my life and put Jesus Christ in my life in the sense of that I'm conformed into his image. You know, when we got saved, nothing about us was in the image of Christ. But immediately, a new process began. Salvation came in. That's the work God does for us. And then sanctification began. The work God does in us. There's one more. Verse number, back to Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about a surrendered will. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The third work that God does is, it's called, that God does is through us. For us, in us, through us. This is all part of the Christian life. What is the through us? The word that we use there is the word service. Salvation, sanctification, service. My question would be tonight, if you are saved, in what way are you serving God? Everybody should be serving God in some way. Everybody, everybody. How are you serving God? You must answer that question tonight. You must come up with that. Where am I serving God? So, the word let. The word let. Let's go back to our text. James chapter 1. We're packing a lot into this tonight. Let's quickly review. Number one, we're trying to take difficulties. We're trying to take challenges. We want to take setbacks, surprises, whatever it is that we that James says, know they're coming. When the word was used, right? James chapter number 1. When ye fall into divers. So when you come up on a challenge, not fall into a pit, when you come up on a challenge, they're coming. Knowing that they're coming, let's, number one, let's count. Let's have a joyful attitude. Let's live on top side. Let's let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let's get a song for the day. Let's get a psalm for the day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's actually a scripture song. I won't sing it for you because you might leave. But you'd have to go that way. Remember, you can't go this way. Right? So I'll stand over here. No, count it all joy. Number two, know that God is working in your life. Know that God loves you. And then let, this third one is very important, surrender. Surrender. But let patience have her perfect work. In other words, God cannot work in me without my consent. I must surrender my will to Him. What do I want to do? I want to do what I want to do, not what God wants me to do. I've got to surrender that. The mature believer does not argue with the will of God. Instead, the mature believer accepts it willingly and obeys it joyfully. I can think of a poor example of this from Vacation Bible School this summer. Who was our main character in Vacation Bible School? Jonah. Very good. All right, now, Brother Barry, are you between the ages of 4 and 12? Wow, okay. Excellent job. That's one of our older-looking 12-year-olds back there. Tremendous. But he's right. Jonah. Now think about it. Jonah. God commanded Jonah to preach to the Gentiles at Nineveh, and he refused. In fact, he went so far as to say, I'm going the opposite direction of where God, you wanted me to go. But Jonah ended up, after being corrected by God, he did go to Nineveh, and he did preach. But I don't believe Jonah grew a whole lot from that experience. If you've never read the book of Jonah, I'd encourage you to read it. I don't believe Jonah obeyed from the heart. How do we know this? Because when the city of Nineveh said yes to the Lord, Jonah was mad. He wanted God to judge him. He wanted God to send lightning bolts from heaven. It's in there, in between the lines in the Hebrew. Just read it, you'll find it. He wanted God to judge him, and he was so, talk about poochy lip disease, talk about a problem with an attitude. No, he had not fully surrendered his will to the Lord. He had not fully surrendered to what God had for him. Let, surrendered will. One more. Let's review quickly. Count, a joyful attitude. You have a joyful attitude when trials come your way? Number two, know. An understanding heart. Understand what God is trying to do. What is God trying to do in my life? Number three, let. Surrender your will. Number four is the word ask. Look at verse 5, please. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask of God. It giveth to all men liberally, and it braideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. The people to whom James wrote had problems, and they needed to ask for God's help. By the way, get in line. I'm in the line already. We all need God's wisdom, don't we? Ask. What is the theme of the word ask? The word ask brings with it a believing heart. You know what? When I was younger growing up, I went to my dad to ask him certain things. Why? Because I believed he could help me. My dad is 72 years of age. He'll be 73 later this month. Actually, in a couple of weeks, my dad's birthday. Good, I just remembered. That's a good thing I remember. I have it written down. He's almost 73. I'm thankful he's still alive. I'm thankful that I can ask him. Why would I ask my dad? Because I believe my dad would give me an answer that would be, well, I'm thankful my dad would give me an answer if it's a spiritual thing that would be biblical in its answer. I'm glad for that. But ultimately, my dad would give me an answer that he knows would be good for me. Because he loves me, and I know my dad loves me. I'm giving you that as an example because here we have our Heavenly Father in the book of James, chapter number 1, where he's saying that, look, things are coming. Things are coming your way. There's a right and a wrong way to go through challenges. You can have a bad attitude. You can think that God has taken a nap in your life. You can have a hard heart about it and not surrender. Or you can have the opposite of each one of those and summing those all up with going to him and asking him, God, what do you have for me? God, what are you trying to teach me? God, even Jesus himself said, why hast thou forsaken me? Why is this in my life? I want to have the right attitude, but God, I need strength. And why would I go to my dad as a child? Because I believed my dad. My dad wasn't perfect at all. My dad had all kinds of things. And I'm a product. I have all kinds of problems. I'm not lifting up. I'm just saying, do you really believe God tonight that God would help you if you ask? That's why we would ask, because we believe him. If any of you ask in faith, do you see that? Verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When we are going through a God-ordained difficulty, we must ask for wisdom. James speaks much about wisdom. Turn over to chapter 3, please, quickly. Chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But look at verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above... Hey, folks, challenging right now? If any of you ask wisdom, ask in faith. This wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's the kind of advice. That's the kind of wisdom. That's what God has for us. Folks, the resources that we have in the Lord and in his word are beyond our own imagination. If any of you ask in faith, ask a believing heart. Why do we need wisdom in going through these trials? Why not ask for strength? Why not ask for grace? Why not ask to be delivered? Here's a thought I wrote down. Because if I ask for wisdom, I won't waste the opportunities God is giving to mature me to be more conformed to the image of his son. I must admit, I'm sure God has brought things into my life over the years and I have not gone through them with wisdom. Here, James says, when? They're coming. They're coming. What do? We count. We count. We have a joyful attitude. What do? We know. We know what God is doing because we have God's word. We've seen God do things in his word in other people's lives. We know some things. We have an understanding. When they come, we let. We surrender my will. The song in the hymn book says, I surrender all. We ask. We ask. We need to have that believing heart. Now, as we come to the end of this lesson, look at James 1, verse 12. This ties it all together. We started to hit on this a little bit ago. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that what? Love. James used a very important word here, love. You see, my love for God is the spiritual motivation for everything else that we've talked about tonight. Why would I count it all joy? Because I love God. Why would I try to know and understand what God is doing? Because I love God. Why would I surrender my will? Because I love God. Why do I love God? We love God. We love Him because He first loved us. Why do I have a joyful attitude as I face trials? Because we love God and He loves me. And God's not going to bring anything more into my life than He knows I can handle. Why do I have an understanding mind? Because God loves me and has shared His truth with me. And I love Him in return. Why do I have a surrendered will? Because we love Him. And where there is love, there is surrender and obedience. Trust and obey. Why do we have a believing heart? Because love and faith go together. When you love someone, you trust them. We don't hesitate to ask them for help. If we love God, we will have no problem counting, knowing, letting, and asking. I submit to you tonight, there's a formula for us that when God allows things that we know are coming, because James said when they come, take a step back, take a deep breath, inhale, exhale, and then go through this formula. Count, let, know, ask.